Alrighty, so this morning we are thinking in our class of intentional attendance about how to attend church well, particularly as we think about discipling. How does going to church fit into being a disciple who makes disciples? So first of all, when I say disciple, what is a disciple and what is discipling? What's a disciple? A follower of Jesus. So a disciple is someone who is following another in order to learn their words and their ways, right? So we are following Jesus. By faith, we follow him. We follow his words, his teaching, and his ways, his example, right? So then what is discipling? That's a noun. What's the verb? What does it mean? What's it mean to disciple? What's discipling? Great. It's the process of helping others to follow Jesus, okay? So the first thing that I want us to, our first little thing here is number one, is cultivate a discipling mindset. So when we think about going to church, I want to propose that it's under the umbrella of being disciples who make disciples. That's how we should think about choosing a church, attending a church, going to church, leaving church, all of that. It should be done with the mindset of, we are disciples, if we are indeed followers of Jesus, who are helping to make other disciples and help them to grow. We're going to be jumping around a little bit with some scripture. Does anybody happen to already be in Matthew 28? I haven't handed out any, but you're there. Could you read for us Matthew 28, 18 through 20? This will be a familiar one, but it's familiar because it's important. So go ahead and read that for us, please. Loud enough for everybody to hear, even the recording.
And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
Good. So everything that a Christian should do, everything that a Christian does should be able to fit into this commission by Jesus. Everything flows from it and everything feeds it. Everything that we're about should be about this business that Jesus has given to his disciples. We are disciples who make disciples. This is the central work of the local church. So to be clear, a local church does not exist merely to assist individual disciples in doing what Jesus calls them to do. That's true. But even I would say even more so, the individual Christians partner as a local church to help fulfill the Great Commission. So we, in one sense, can't fulfill the Great Commission without one another. And the local church is the means by which Jesus intends for the Great Commission to be fulfilled, for the gospel to go to the ends of the earth. So this means that when we think about coming to church, it should, how does what I'm about to do, what we're about to do, fit into this commission? And if we can't see how it connects, then we need to step back, do some examination, do some maybe adjusting of what we do as a church or how we even go as individuals, because everything needs to be around this. So if you're a believer, you want to find a faithful local church that's going to be about this business. How would you know if a church is faithful to be assisting in the Great Commission? What are some things you might look for? Preaching and teaching. Are they teaching the words of Jesus? Jesus said, "Teach them to obey everything that I commanded." Well, are they teaching what Jesus commanded, and are they calling people to obey it? So that would be like the first thing that you want to look for. Okay, what else? Okay, do they care about this thing, about it not just being about us, but about it going out to others? Do they care about that? Good.
Are they living it out?
Great. So you can have really good teaching and have all the right aims, but if you don't have a culture of obedience and love and gospel life together, of helping one another, so you can have actually really faithful teaching, but it thoroughly undermined if there's not a culture of living it out as gospel-dependent people. Good. Were you going to say something like that or something else? Okay.
Are they leading the entire membership to be involved in discipling one another.
Good, yeah. So is this not just a leave it to the professionals, but does it appear that there's at least the ambition of the church is for everybody to be about this in some way, shape, or form? Is this a whole church sort of thing? Good. Yeah. So a local church should be in kind of everything that it does, pointing toward the Great Commission. So I think everything that we do, everything that we say, every dollar that we budget, every moment should be able to in some way point toward this is what we're about. We're here to be disciples who are making disciples. We want to be winning people, evangelizing unbelievers. We want to be building people, edifying those who are following Jesus, helping them to obey. And then we want to send them to equip and encourage believers to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Okay, so first things first, we want to have this mindset. All right. So how can you cultivate that throughout the week as you're moving toward gathering on a Sunday? What are some things that you can do to help yourself and to help others kind of have that mindset? What might that look like? Yep.
Actually gathering together during the week.
Okay, so maybe gathering besides just Sunday. Getting together, and we can, this will be some of the things we'll get into, but talking about things that we've learned together, holding each other accountable, encouraging each other. Okay, good. Anything else?
Share the gospel.
Yeah, so you want to be active in evangelism, to where you are heralding the gospel as you've scattered out into wherever God has placed you. I mean, right now, just if you really think about how amazing it is, if we went around and said, okay, so where do you work? Where do you live? Where do you work? Where do you live? Where do you work? And just then, if you put it on a map and just look at where God has put his church, and this is just one local church, he's scattered us in all these places and put us around all these neighbors, all these coworkers, all these people that we do life with on purpose to herald the gospel there. So the question is, are we doing that? Or are we just going about our daily lives, right? I was convicted of that recently. There's a coach that my assistant coach for Graham's team, Mark, we've known him for years, and Carrie's done a good job of kind of witnessing to the wife. I just really haven't with Mark, and I've been convicted, so you can pray for Mark. We're coaching together this year, and pray that I would be bold in sharing the gospel with him. So is that happening? Good. So there's lots of things, I think, that fall into that bracket, but one other thing is you want to pray, God, help me to not just go through the motions. Help me to not just come to church and show up, but help me to go as a disciple who wants to make disciples and help me to be about that business. Give me that big vision of taking the gospel to the nations and this being a part of that. Give me that big vision of me and others being conformed to the image of Jesus. Give me that vision. Do that work in my heart. Pray and ask God to do that. So we want to cultivate a discipling mindset. Any questions, insights on that before we move on to the second thing? Yo. Yo, sir. Excuse me. Yes.
Just one thing. I think sometimes we can take that admonition or read that admonition and take it as these are all castings I have to do. And the idea is not that you do want to be intentional, but you want it to be the natural outpouring of how you live your life out in faith to each other.
Good.
So the idea that it's not just like, oh, I didn't have this many lunches, or I didn't have, but it should just be the natural outflow of it. Because you're going to ebbs and flows in that.
Yep.
So what's your predisposition? I'm not just living as a long-range Christian, I'm living as part of a community, who's desiring to help others grow their discipleship together.
That's helpful. Yeah, all of this should flow from our own sitting at the feet of Jesus, knowing Jesus, loving Jesus, abiding with Jesus, and that this, we want to pray that this would be cultivated. I think as we mature, it will become more of this is what we're about. But yes, it's not just a list of to-dos. So if you take this away and you're like, okay, I'm going to try and check all of these off every week, that will exhaust you. There'll be some seasons where you're like, actually, I don't know how I can do any of these except just maybe show up and pray that God will use something that I hear to help me to keep going. That's we will all have those seasons in the Christian life. So don't hear this as another law of, oh, if you're not doing this, then you're not being a faithful Christian. No. But we do want this to be an outflow of the life of us together. Okay? That's good. All right, number two. So prepare on purpose. Prepare on purpose. I'm going to throw out some scriptures. We're going to have people read those. Psalm 122, 1. Who can read that? Thank you, Lyle. Hebrews 4, 1. Thank you. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Thank you. James 5:16. Thank you. We're going to skip some of those. Acts 2:42-47. All right, Jeremiah. Okay. So, under number two here, prepare on purpose. Going to church. All right, so going to church. So we are the church, but we're also going to church. And what I mean by that is assembling together, gathering together, should not be the same as the way that you would maybe go to a movie or a concert or a sporting event. Now, hopefully if you're going to go to a movie, you will do some prep beforehand to see whether or not you should go to that movie. Don't just go to a movie because it's like, oh, this will be great. You should look it up before you go so you don't have to walk out or sit through it and sin. Like, so you don't want to, you want to do some preparation, okay? But largely, we do those other things just to be entertained, to receive, right? Going to church should be different than that. We should aim to prepare to gather as a disciple who wants to help other disciples as we're being helped. Okay? So whatever this looks like in your own life, these are just some rhythms that might be good to put into place or to develop. Number one would be encourage others to attend. Encourage others to attend. Somebody read that Psalm 122:1.
I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord.
So I just think, may that be our posture with one another about, hey, see you on Sunday, right? See you at small group this week. Hey, are you going to be doing this thing? I'd love to see you there, right? So I think even just encouraging, let's go to the house of the Lord, that'd be kind of our heartbeat, that we want to see one another. In a weary world, it's nice to be around fellow pilgrims. Encourage others to go, okay? And I think particularly, Hebrews 4:1, somebody read that for us.
Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it.
In the book of Hebrews, one of the antidotes to apostasy is the local church. Now, what's apostasy mean? To leave the faith, to go out from Jesus, to forsake Jesus and to go back to the world or whatever you came from, right? One of the antidotes, one of the primary antidotes in the New Testament, particularly seen in the book of Hebrews, is the local church. It is the don't forsake the gathering together is the habit of some, right? There's a call to come together and to be together because we have a heavenly calling that lays before us. There's a promise of rest that is set before us, so we gather to help each other to press into that rest. So particularly, I think if we know that a brother or sister is struggling, we should be extra intentional to check in on them on Friday or Saturday or maybe through the week and be like, hey, checking in to see how you're doing. Hope to see you on Sunday. Okay? It's my job, so I have to come to church or I'll like be homeless and me and my family. So it's my job. But I can't tell you how much I think God just knows who his weakest sheep are. And I'm so thankful that I have to show up. Because there are times I just don't want to. I mean, I love y'all, but there's just times I don't want to go. But the encouragement of knowing that others are expecting me to be there, my role uniquely, but like, as a Christian, it really helps me to know I have to go. And God, help me to go. Help me to go in faith. Help me to go hopefully. Help me to believe that you're going to show up and that you're going to move, that you're going to use this, right? I think that helps all of us to know that others are looking for us. And as a church grows in size, that becomes more difficult and something you can really feel invisible. But it helps when somebody's reaching out. So this is why it's important to know one another. And particularly, if you can think of somebody who you're like, I don't know how they're doing right now. I should check in and make sure they're coming on Sunday. That would be important. So whether somebody's struggling with sin, somebody's struggling with some grief and sorrow, somebody's just despairing or whatever it may be that's going on, check in on them and encourage them. Give me that 1 Thessalonians 5:14 verse.
And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all.
Do you hear that? Admonish the idle, the ones who are kind of like, I don't know. Encourage the faint-hearted. I just don't know how I can keep going. Help the weak, those who are struggling in whatever way it may be. We're to have an others mindset that is particularly in tune with those who are suffering and struggling and just not doing well. So, encourage others to attend, to come. Maybe you help them get a ride. Maybe it's just a text, a call, whatever it may be. Okay. Maybe even, yeah, make plans afterwards so they kind of have to show up. All right, number two, under prepare on purpose, help others resist and confess sin. Help others resist and confess sins. Now, how many of you come from a Catholic background? Anybody? Not all Catholics do this, but there seems to be a pattern of, well, I got to go to Mass, confess my sins, and then go back to doing life as is. Now, again, I don't want to characterize all Catholics in that way. I'm not encouraging that kind of mindset where like, oh, Sunday's coming, so I got to get things together and confess and repent and that sort of stuff. But I do think in God's wisdom, there's a weekly rhythm of we're coming together before God in a unique way among God's people, at least every other week, taking the Lord's Supper. We're coming to hear the word. We're coming together that we should be regularly cultivating confession and repentance of our sins personally, individually, but also helping others to do that. Why do we want to help that to happen in one another and for one another as we're preparing to come on Sundays for worship? Why is that important, do you think? Yeah.
I would say, because this is what God has given us as an ordinary means of grace, like to the teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking bread, to, you know, prayer, corporate prayer together. So to not come or take that mindset that you're saying is to disregard God's ordinary means of grace that he's given us as a gift to grow together.
Good. Yeah, I think so. Because what, I mean, two things. First of all, let's think about God. Like in the Old Testament, what happens if you don't prepare rightly to approach God in worship? It's over, right? Now, thankfully, under the new covenant, there's grace and Christ has been judged for all of our imperfections. But whatever it should produce, flippancy and irreverence is not it. There still should be, we are gathering before the Lord as we do at all times, but I'm coming to sit under his word with his people. I'm about to come and to sing songs about him before his holy presence with his people. We're going to take the Lord's Supper and remember the body and the blood of Christ. That there should be a trepidation, not a paralyzing fear, but a hopeful, Lord, thank you for your grace. Help me to lean into your grace that I might come ready, right? I'm not going to ask you what. How many of you have ever come to church while you're still abiding in sin in some way? Either there's something that you haven't confessed, or you've been kind of living in some sort of hypocrisy, or there's something that you've come to church knowing, fresh off of sinning or still stuck in sin. How many of you have ever done that? Okay. Most people who are alive. Okay. So I don't mean it to be funny, but I mean, like, I think it is an experience. What is church like for you on those days? Tell me about what's hindered while you're there, if that's going on.
Worship.
I hear worship, focus,
community.
Fellowship. Prayer. Just speak out. They're all charismatic. You can join in. Come on.
It feels like you've got cotton in your ears. You can't really hear.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Something in the way.
Everything everybody is saying is true. There's a great danger of allowing unaddressed sin to abide. Because when you come, first of all, how many of you ever skipped church because you were in sin and you're like, I just can't go today? I've done that, right? How many of you have ever had to not take the Lord's Supper because there's been sin that, and to be really clear, when I say sin, what I don't mean is something that you're actively trying to fight, a situation you're actively trying to resolve. And you really are in good faith trying. I'm talking about, I'm not ready to give this up, Lord. There's a difference between those two things. I'm not trying to invoke guilt where there's not, he knows that we are but dust. Every Christian comes as one who is struggling with sin. Okay, so that's there. I'm talking about, you know, you're looking at things that you know you shouldn't. Or you have an active lie going on that you're living. Or you have whatever it may be, right? Attendance might be hindered. Your affections are going to be dulled when you just come. That's going to your prayers. Is it easy to focus during prayer? It's not. Your mind's going to be drifting all over, maybe even to the sinful memories of what's going on. Receiving the word is hindered. It's just kind of bouncing, like you said, kind of cotton in the ears. Loving others is lessened. I mean, when you come and your heart is heavy with sin, it's not just easy to go and to be like, hey, how are you today? How can I pray for you? What's going on? Talk to me. You're suffering. Let me help you. Like, you don't have spiritual energy for that. It's been sapped. Satan is brilliant. Okay. This is why there's so much sinning. Oftentimes it happens on Fridays and Saturdays. I think it's one of the reasons, because it's to dull hearts before people will come and worship. Some of you stayed up until, never mind. Well, no, but some of us don't prepare well on Saturday night, stay up until 2 or 3 in the morning watching shows, and then kind of get up and you can't even hear the word. Is that a sin? I don't know. We'll have to think about it. But is it wise? Probably not. Like, we just have to be careful about gathering together flippantly without having hearts checked. So we need this for ourselves, but we also want to check in with others. Hey, how's it been this week? Is there anything going on that I can pray for you about? Are there any sins that, like, you just need somebody to talk about? Talk to about. I want to pray with you. I want to be with you in that way, to help you to come to the throne of grace, to receive the mercy of Christ. So you want to help others to resist and confess sin. Where's that James 5:16? Can we read that for me?
Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed.
Yeah.
Prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Yeah.
I remember particularly, I was probably been a Christian 2 or 3 years, and there was some sin that I was struggling with, and it was Saturday, and I was about to go to church the next day, and I just felt so guilty and so heavy. And basically I reached out to another friend. I said, hey, look, can I just talk to you about what's going on? And I remember they prayed for me, and I just told everything that was going on. And the sort of weight that was lifted the next day when I was able to go to church, I mean, I was able to receive the word in a way that the previous Sunday that I had been still living in the same sin, I didn't. And there was a spiritual healing that happens, that God does give grace to his people as they confess their sins. So help each other to do that. Thirdly, another way to prepare on purpose is to read the text beforehand. So this is something that we publish these upcoming sermons, both in the bulletin, on the church website. If you ever can't find it, you can just, you can text one of the pastors, or you can email the church or whatever. Maybe you can find out what we're doing. And I encourage you to read ahead. What are some benefits of reading ahead and studying the text ahead of time before you come?
When I've done it, I feel like I engage so much more with the sermon. Like, because I like maybe think about, like, what are your main points going to be? And when it's not that, I'm like, oh, I didn't think about that. I feel like I'm able to kind of engage more than just like taking passive notes, but actually I've thought about it already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's helpful.
That's good. So maybe there's already questions that you have that you're listening more eagerly to see if it'll be answered.
Yeah.
Maybe there's some insights that you've gained. That you're like, I wonder if the pastor is going to notice that also and how he might apply it. Those are some good things. Other reasons it might be helpful? Yeah.
So I found that I appreciate more the way that the songs and the other scripture readings are picked in light of the
text. Good.
Because I haven't read it, I don't necessarily remember back. Ah.
That's a great connection. So whether you know this or not, the pastoral staff, particularly Chris Dish, who's a ninja at this, spends a lot of time each looking at what is the text that should be preached. And then we're going to talk about what are the songs that support that idea. What are the scripture readings that support that idea? Everything's done on purpose. So it helps you if you know what the theme is and you come in and you're like, oh, this song just fits with what we're about to hear. Because probably 2/3 of our songs are going to be sung even before the word is preached. So that, I think that's a great observation. Hadn't even thought of that. Yeah, it's really good. Yep.
It's helpful to already, know what the text is talking about, because sometimes if I don't read it beforehand, I just hear you read it aloud once, and then hear what you have to say about it. But if I read it beforehand, I, know what you're talking about and can already, I can hear what you're preaching about.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, it's like if you watch a movie once, the next time you watch it, you're noticing all kinds of things. You're like, oh, I didn't even see that the first time. Well, and that's what we want. Like the goal is not to be surprise Sunday. Here's a text you've never heard. Like that's hopefully not what's happening. We're coming to grow. And I just want to say, if you're studying it throughout the week, I am so helped by emails that come in and be like, hey, I noticed this. This is weird. Why is this here? Or, hey, I noticed this. This is really encouraging. That's why sometimes I'll even send out emails and be like, hey, if you noticed anything, it's to provoke you to read. But it's also, I'm really helped because I want to see what are the things that you're noticing that I'm not. We do church together in that sense. Yeah.
One thing too is like not just reading and pre-reading a text, but also prayerfully reading over a text and asking God for the sermon to just soften my heart. It gets us in a state of humility and dependence on God. It's like we sometimes think that we can just read a text and we're just going to figure it out and unlock it just like that. Well, we depend on God for those things. And so
I think we need to, this whole posture is, God, I need your help for this. Show me. This is not just going through the motions, right? But this is indeed, you know, as Eric brought up initially, this is about abiding with him, growing with him. Good. All right, fourthly, and not necessarily finally, but finally for what I have here, plan meals after church to discuss. Somebody read this, Acts 2, 42 through 47. Now, again, this is the early church living life together throughout the week. Just listen to what marked it. Okay, read it loud enough for everybody, please.
And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. It all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people.
Good. What phrase do you see show up in verses 46 and 47? It's three words. Day by day. You notice that? So for this early church, walking with Jesus was not just a Lord's Day sort of adventure. This was a lifestyle that they did together. So when I say here, plan meals after church to discuss, this could have tons of different forms, but what am I encouraging here? Fellowship. Getting together and talking about, so let's talk about what happened on Sunday, right? Just in the same way that if you go and watch a game together afterwards, you're going to talk about, hey, that play was this or that. And there's going to be things you're going to talk, go watch a movie. You're going to be like, oh, that was weird or that was cool or, you know, whatever it may be. Well, all the more when we come together, like if we're God's people and God's word has been proclaimed, then God's spirit is at work and we want to talk about that. Hey, I hadn't thought about this, or man, that I had heard that before, but not like this. Or, you know, I feel convicted about this, or I'm super encouraged by what God's done in this. How about you? And then we want to engage with one another and help one another to process what we've heard from God's word together. I think an easy way to do that is to schedule some sort of get together, whether it be, how many of you are in fellowship groups that meet after church on a Sunday? Okay, so for a lot of people, that's one way to do it. A lot of those are every other week. Some of you need those off weeks just to refresh, and that's totally fine. You should not feel guilty about that. There's different seasons, though, that will allow for different, you'll have different sorts of bandwidth to be able to be involved with other people afterwards. But that's one of the things I'm regularly encouraged by, is that people are, after this, you got to eat. Like, people are going out and eating together, talking about what's happening. Or if it's just you and your family, or you and your roommates, encourage you to talk about those things. What did you hear today that was helpful? Was there anything encouraging, anything confusing? This is something that God uses to help his people to digest this together. Any other questions, comments, insights on ways to prepare on purpose to have this discipling mindset of going to grow and going to give? Anything in preparation wise? All right. Number three then. Gather for edification. Gather for edification. Now we've got a number of verses here. I'm going to have somebody can get the Corinthian verses here. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 and 14, 26. Who can do that? 12, 7. Yeah, 12, 7 and 14, 26. All right, and then who can do 3 John 15 and Romans 15, 7? Okay, so 3 John 15 and Romans 15, 7. James 1, 21 and 22. I'll go here. Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. See that hand in the back? I'm not going to read all that. That's good. So we could do more verses for all these. I just want to give some. But here's what I'm thinking about on this, on gather for edification. So we should, again, as disciples who are aiming to make disciples, we should gather on the Lord's day to be edified by others and to edify others. So we come, we go to grow, and we go to give. Both of those things should be on our mind, okay? Everything that happens when the church comes together should be done for edification. What's edify? What's it mean to edify?
Build up.
To build up, to help to grow, to push toward maturity. That should be going on. So we go to get and we go to give. Now, some of us come from different backgrounds where really the mindset was you just go to get, very kind of consumeristic mindset. And then some or other like, no, that's of the devil. So you go to get to give, and you just come and I'm just going to give everything all the time to the Lord, which is can be another sort of thing. It's got to be both. You need to be edified. It's not selfish to aim to be edified. It's not selfish to say, I want to get something today from God and from God's people. Lord, give that to me. That's right. You should come hungry. But you should also come, Lord, as I'm able in this season, help me to give. Now, I want to qualify with what I just said, because there are seasons where it's just really hard to give. This has been one of the harder years of my life. It's harder for me to walk around the building after church, around the inside and talk to people. It's harder for me to do that in this season than it's been in other seasons. Sometimes I can make it like 3 people and I'm like, I'm just kind of done. Love y'all. Bless you. That's got to go. And that's it's okay. Okay, so some of you are suffering under great affliction. Some of you have had loss recently. Some of you have had, there's just wounds that haven't healed well. Some of you are just tired coming off of church hurt from other things. Some of you we're all in different places. We're not all strong at the same time. We're not all strong in the same way. And that's okay. That's why we are a body that helps one another. But as we're able, we should be aiming to give of ourselves to others. And again, it's not just from us, but it's what we're receiving from Christ. We abide in him and then give by the grace that he supplies. Okay. So let's read those 1 Corinthians verses 12:7 and then 14:26.
To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good.
So hear that. You are given, if you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit manifests himself. What's it mean to manifest? To make yourself visible. So the Spirit shows himself by producing the life of Jesus in you. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. It's the life of Christ. The life of Jesus, the fruit of the Spirit, is produced in you by his power as we yield to the Spirit through obedience. That fruit is fruit for the benefit of the tree or for those around. Those around. You produce fruit to give to others. So the Spirit gives grace to you that fruit may come out so that others can be edified. So that's part of what you're getting to give, okay? And then this is 1 Corinthians 14. 14 is a whole section is on whether you should speak in tongues or prophesy. And that's a whole other conversation for another day. But the whole aim is that speaking in tongues without an interpreter is not edifying to people, it's just confusing. So rather, you should long for words that are clear and discernible so that you can receive them, believe them, and obey them. That's what you should aim for during the corporate gathering. That's what's happening in 1 Corinthians 14.
What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up.
Let all things be done for building up. When you come together, whatever you bring, you should bring the mindset of I'm here to edify. So whether you have a formal role in the service, and throughout church history, different congregations have gathered in different ways to express gifts and all those kinds of things. And it's not just during excuse me, it's not just during the gathering, but it's, you know, anytime believers are together. But the idea is this should be an edifying time. The goal is not just to entertain, it's not just to inform, it is to edify, right? So, so the leadership of the church is responsible for making sure that everything that happens in the service is edifying. So anything that's on our calendar, anything that's on our liturgy, anything that we do should be intentional with a purpose aimed at this feeds and fuels the Great Commission and the glory of Jesus and the edifying of people. Everything should be done. We try not to waste time, try not to waste money. Everything's on purpose with the aim of edification. Okay? And the congregation is responsible for engaging in everything that happens in the service in a way that is edifying. So the leadership should help to facilitate edification. And then the members, including the leadership, should engage in it in a way that is intending to edify and to build up. Okay? So, first thing, greet one another. Give us the 3 John 15, Romans 15, 7.
Peace to you. The friends send you greetings. Greet the friends by name.
So this is 3 John. It's one of the Ephesian churches. John is writing to them and says, hey, all the brothers here, they greet you. Send greetings. When you come to church, I'm not asking you to be an extrovert. But it is good to say good morning or hello, how are you? Try to engage. And if the Lord gives even more capacity and you arrive, I don't know, on time or even a little early, if you walk into the room and you see someone sitting by themselves, if you're able, you should at least, I think, and aim to maybe pray for them, Lord, I don't know what's going on in their life, bless them. If you're able, I encourage you, go talk to them. Hey, good morning. If you haven't met them before, if you don't recognize them, just go ahead and run the risk. All right? Because a lot of times you're afraid of like, oh, hey, are you new here? No, I've been here 3 years. Oh, well, how many of you have ever done that before? Yeah, me too. And I'm supposed to know everybody. Okay, like I understand. Okay. But it's just not that big a deal. Be like, I'm so sorry. I'm not sure. Have we met before? Be like, no. How long have you been coming? A couple months. Okay, well, hey, my name is this. What's your name? Very good. If you're sitting by yourself, do you have anybody to sit with? You're welcome to sit with us. I've seen that happen a lot. If you don't have energy for that, that's totally fine. You're like, I can't do that today, but I can say hello. Be like, hey, it's nice to have you. Anything I can be praying about for you. And then jot it down. Okay, so there's ways to greet one another in the Lord. Don't feel like you need to talk to every single person, all that kind of stuff. Whatever you're, stretch yourself. Always try to stretch yourself a little bit if you're able. And again, you can nuance all of this, but greet one another. It shows hospitality. How many of you were greeted well when you first came to the church here? Okay. How many of you were not greeted well? It was just kind of cold.
It was COVID,
well. Yeah, that was a thing, wasn't it? But yeah, so there've been some very distinct differences by people, the way people have felt when they've come, either welcomed or not. So greet one another. Because the aim is, you never know what's going to happen in that conversation. There have been people that I hear testimonies of, they're like, these people came up to us first day and like, we're best friends now. Like the Lord did this thing with these people. I didn't know who they were. I'm like, who are these people? But then, man, it was kind of cool. So you never know what God's going to do. Every brief encounter is from the Lord. So pray for grace there. Number two, receive God's word. Give us that James 1, 21 and 22.
Therefore, put away all diligence and command the wickedness. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves.
Good. When you come to hear the word. Do some preparation beforehand. But when the sermon's being proclaimed, receive the word for yourself, but also for others. Now, if all you're ever doing is being like, I sure hope so-and-so is hearing this, that's not what we're looking for. But go listen and tune in. Receive the word when the scripture's read, when things are prayed, when the word is preached. Receive it, but then also be thinking about, oh, that would really help this person's life. And make a note, you know, reach out to Sarah or, you know, tell Mac this or whatever it may be. Like, make little notes to remind you to help take this word and to give it to others. So you're getting it to grow and you're getting it to give. Everything that happens, this class, other classes, Sunday morning, it's all fuel for discipleship. And the word is, I mean, it's the diesel fuel. Like, it's what makes it go. Okay, so we want to receive for yourself and also to give. Number three, pray with the pastors. Pray with the pastors. What do you think I mean by that?
Don't just tune out when the prayer is happening.
Thank you.
This is a performance to listen to.
Yes. How many of you during a pastoral prayer have fallen asleep or did you do it while you were praying? No. I was caught up in the third heaven. I don't know. And there was the Lord. There's a tongue, I guess. But so as you're able, tune in during prayers. It is easy sometimes when someone else is praying, particularly if it's a long prayer, to kind of allow your mind to wander a bit. I encourage you, though, to try to pray along. Pastors are supposed to pray on behalf of the congregation. This morning, Justin Hughes, he's going to pray. He's going to do his pastoral prayer. And as he does, he is praying as a pastor for the church, for things that are going on in our world, things that are going on with ministry partners, members of our church, right? And then if you hear something, you're like, oh my, I didn't know that about that person. So pastors are not aiming to just like give like news updates on everybody's lives hidden in kind of prayer requests. We're not trying to do that. But if you do hear something like this morning, Sarah Talone was on her way to go see her dad and her dad died this morning. He was sick and we're going to pray for Sarah. So if you hear something like that, drop a note and say, hey, heard about your dad. I'm so sorry. Praying for you. Like, bear one another's burdens. Listen, care for one another. Those sorts of things. Pray along with the pastors. And you can do that saying amen out loud or mm-hmm or yes, Lord, or yes, or whatever is appropriate. Or if you're a Presbyterian and you need to not say anything and just keep it in, that's fine too. Whatever is edifying for you. But pray with the pastors. Number four, sing to one another. Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. Who's got that? Give it to. All right.
Ephesians 5, 18
through
20.
Yep.
And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit.
So don't be filled with influences that will lead you to sinning, but rather be filled with the Spirit that will lead you with influences to worship. What would that look like, Josh?
Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right, so as God's people are gathered and are filled with the Spirit, one of the ways of the filling of the Spirit is going to show itself in the gathering is when we sing songs by faith. We're singing true things about God, to God, but not just to God, but also to one another. All right? So when you sing, sing to the Lord and sing to me. Sing to the Lord and sing to the person in the balcony. Sing to the Lord and sing to the person next to you. Now, how many of you, have you ever been encouraged here to sing a song that you don't care for? Who has not? Liar. Somebody, everybody at some point, there's going to be a song and you're like, this is not my jam. I don't really get with this. One of the things that can help you is to remember that this might be somebody else's song. How many of you have had songs on a Sunday morning where you're like, I don't even know if I heard the sermon, but that song held me together? I mean, that whatever the song is that we're singing, that may be it for somebody else. So sing by faith to God, but also to encourage others. That helps you to learn to appreciate songs that are maybe not as enjoyable for you. That this might be somebody else's jam. I want this truth from this song to hit your heart to help you to keep trusting God. So sing. I can't tell you how many times on the front row, I'll just turn around and look. Carrie's like, they don't know what you're doing. They think you're just staring at them. And it's okay. So I'm turning, I am watching you all sing because I love to look out and I know so many of your stories and to see some of you singing in spite of hell on earth that you're going through and all of the ways that are just really, really hard and tough things that you've gone through, and to still see you singing by faith, like it bolsters my faith. It encourages me. So thank you for singing. So sing unto the Lord and sing to one another. We're going to make it through these eight and then we'll have any reflections on any others. Celebrate sacraments rightly. So the Lord has given us tangible reminders of his mercy to celebrate together. One of those is baptism. So anytime there's going to be a baptism, I want to encourage you, to listen afresh to hearing God's mercy in somebody else's life. One of the reasons I love preaching, I love doing membership interviews, because I love hearing people's stories and all of the wild things that God has done to save people. Whether it be crazy stuff, like some guy who went to an AC/DC concert and they were singing Highway to Hell and he looked around and said, everybody's going to hell and so am I, and he left and got saved. Or whether somebody who's like, you know what, what's an AC/DC, and I've never heard anything except in our home we only ever talked about Jesus, and for some reason, from my earliest memories, it was sweet to me. Like either God delivered somebody out of something or kept them from something. Both of those are miracles and they're glorious, and you just get to hear how God has saved people, right? So listen afresh. I do encourage you, if you have little ones, to go and get them and bring them in so they can hear it and you can talk about it. Also, if you know there's going to be a baptism, which they're publicized ahead of time, invite people who don't know the Lord to come. It's a great time for them to hear the testimony of somebody else who's sharing how Christ came and saved them. Same thing with the Lord's Supper, prepare beforehand. So when you read, I just encourage you to read that 1 Corinthians 11, 17 through 34 later. You'll see that the congregation was being reproved because they were taking the Lord's Supper. He says, but it's not the Lord's Supper you're actually taking. Because the way y'all are coming together, you're taking this as if the Lord's not central in it. As if this is kind of all about you. Now, there's lots of ways that can do that. For this congregation in Corinth, they would have a meal elsewhere, not during the gathering, but they would have a meal over at somebody's house, and evidently a wealthy person's house. And everybody would get over there, and they'd bring their bread and their wine, and they'd have the Lord's Supper. But the poor folk who didn't show up on time yet, they were excluded from it, and they had already eaten and drank, and then here come the other people, and Paul's like, whatever you're doing there, that's not the Lord's Supper. This is supposed to be a togetherness. Now, the way we do that here, I think it means, first and foremost, Lord, is there any abiding sin that I need to make sure I deal with personally? Brother or sister, we're about to go, to worship this weekend. We're going to do the Lord's Supper. Is there anything that you feel like you need to just talk about beforehand? Are there any relationships are off or anything that you just want to pray through and talk about so that they can come with a clear conscience? And then making sure that there's no unresolved conflict as much as you're able, as far as it depends upon you, that you've tried to make peace. Now, some of you are in long-standing, difficult relationships. I just want to say that there's a way that you can try really hard to feel like I am giving. I'm trying to make this thing right. You've talked about it with maybe somebody in the leadership or a mature believer, that you can still take of the Lord's Supper, even if things aren't right, because you are actively trying. And others would agree, yes, you are actively trying. A lot of us are going to have those sorts of things going on, and it's just hard on this planet. So the Lord's Supper is not for perfect Christians. It's for needy Christians. But it's also not to be done flippantly. And we want to help each other to do that well. Okay. Pray after the service. Number six, pray after the service. So make notes of things that the Lord impacts you with from his word for you to pray with. But then also in conversations with people afterwards, ask them, is there anything I could be praying about for you? I encourage you to maybe make a note. And if you can keep that and follow up with them, like maybe Wednesday or Thursday, you just say, hey, listen, this is going to be a day I'm going to try and follow up with some of these people after I've been praying. Just send an email or a text or whatever would be appropriate, and say, hey, I remember you shared this thing that was going on this week. Just want to let you know I'm praying for that. How's it going? How many of you have ever gotten that sort of text from somebody? They're like, hey, you mentioned this. I'm praying for you about that. It's super encouraging, right? I just want to say, for those of you who have shared something and somebody didn't reach back out, just remember the Lord hears. Remember, we're all frail. Sometimes people do pray, and just because they didn't reach out doesn't mean that you're not loved and you're not forgotten. But it is encouraging when you hear from others. So reach out, pray for them, follow up. Number 7, attend other meetings. I think anything we do is on purpose here. Equipping hour, tonight's PM service. So it's a burdens and blessings service where people are going to come and share things that have happened in their life that have been hard and the way God has used it for good in their life. So encourage you to come and hear that. There's some remarkable stories of God's mercy tonight. And then we'll pray for one another. So we try to do those things intentionally. Members meetings, come hear who the new members are so you can reach out to them, encourage them, pray for them. So those things, now again, don't hear that as you have to do everything. Every time that, you know, the church is open, we're not saying everybody has to do everything. Actually, if you are doing everything, you should probably stop and get some friends and I mean that in a kind way, like fellowship with other people and have time to build relationships with non-believers. But there's lots of opportunities for edification. And then identify potential elders. So as you interact with brothers who you think, you know what, that person, they're not an elder, but I think the elders should at least know how edifying they are, how encouraging they are, how wise they are. Please reach out to us. We're always looking for who God might be raising up in our midst to serve, because a pastor, elder's job is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So if you see somebody who's doing that already, let us know so that we can be intentional to help invest in them. Or if you're like, hey, I aspire to be an elder. Nobody's really ever talked to me about that, but I would like to talk more about what it means to aspire well. Would love to have that conversation and figure out what that means. And in one sense, brother or sister, every Christian should aspire for the sort of qualifications of an elder. We all want to be godly and above reproach. But, godly leadership is a blessing to the church. So aim to identify it. So those are things that you can do while you're gathering for yourself to be edified, to grow as a disciple, and to help others to grow. Any insights, comments, thoughts on any of those? Or anything that's missing? You're like, hey, this is also something you can do. Yeah.
I just have a quick encouragement, is that sometimes we can feel inadequate. We all are needy people, and but yet we're needed by others as well. And so don't let your weakness or neediness make you feel like God can't use you to encourage and engage and invite that fellowship with others. Because your weakness is not necessarily a disqualifier. It's actually an invitation for you to share your weaknesses with others so that they can actually, with you, view Christ in terms of how we should, that we need him, that we should go to him, we should run to him. So let your weakness bring you together with someone else to see Christ more earnestly. That's something that's been helpful for me, and I just want to share that.
Yeah, that's a good word. Your weakness does not disqualify you. It actually qualifies you to be able to share, because then we get strength from him in our weakness. Good. Yeah, so don't feel like you have to be like, oh, I'm not mature enough to do any of this. Any believer can do this, or parts of this in different things. And yeah. Last one, yep.
Yeah. And I think we've hit on this already, but it's not just a list of checkboxes. This is really all about us. How do we as the church come together and honor our Father? And how do we make the most of the meal that the Lord serves up to us every Sunday? How do we make sure that I want to get the most spiritual nutrition out of it? I want to help all my brothers and sisters get the same spiritual nutrition out of it. How do we worship the Lord together as the church?
That's good. Amen. Lastly, give me 2 minutes. Here we go. We're scattered to respond together. A lot of these have already been kind of primed up. Number one, scatter to respond to God's word. So leave thinking, how can I obey what I've heard today? And how can I help others do the same? Do that work. We're leaving to live it out. Okay. Number two, give generously. It's interesting, when you look through the New Testament, what inspires generosity from God's people is not guilt. It's rather grace. So when you receive grace from God, the right response is, how can I be generous now as Christ has been generous to me? So, friendly reminder that your bank statements, your credit card statements, those are theological statements about what you love, what you live for, what you find identity in. Encourage you to open those up with one another in a way that would be appropriate. So if nobody knows what you do with your money except Jesus, that's not healthy. I know this is America, and it's kind of like you're not supposed to talk about money. But we're Christians, and it's not safe for you. Jesus talks more about the warnings about how money sends people to hell than anything else. So I just want to encourage you, open your bank accounts, open your portfolio, and have people look at it and encourage or challenge in appropriate ways. Okay? But be generous toward the work of the Lord. This would be a right response. Number three, and finally, is encourage one another. So you want to encourage one another. Two things. You want to encourage with truths, and you want to encourage with fruit. Just hear this from Hebrews, and this is how we'll conclude. Take care, brothers and sisters, lest there be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold fast our confidence, original confidence, firm to the end. So every day we're encouraging each other with the truths that we've reminded or that we've been reminded of. We remind one another of those. And then Hebrews 6, 9 through 12, we're encouraged to point out fruit that we see in one another's lives. So as you go, remind each other of truth and point out fruit. If you see something, say something. So if there was a teaching that was really edified, you were edified by, drop somebody a note and be like, hey, thank you for this. So I've shared this before, but like there's somebody who sends me an email after every sermon that I've preached here for the past 13 years, after every sermon and said, hey, I just want you to say, I want to say thanks. And here's what I got out of it today. Like it's super encouraging, right? So music, scripture reading, somebody, you see somebody serving, you see a parent, you know, doing something, you see a single person jumping in and helping with another family, you see whatever it may be, if you see something, say something. Hey, notice this today. I just want to say the Lord is working in your life. Thank you so much. Somebody's hospitable or generous or whatever it may be. And we want to do that all the way home. And what happens on Sunday morning fuels that to help us to give truth, get truth, or get truth, give truth, and help to produce fruit and encourage the fruit that we see in one another. So, go to church on purpose to help you to fuel your discipling as a discipler. Let me pray.